let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
Welcome to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. My name is Brian David Thompson. I want to thank you for listening. Remind you guys, subscribe, tell a friend. I'm here in studio with CK Thompson, and we're just finishing up. This is a part two of a two-part podcast series on finances. And so actually, I'm just going to let you get right into it, CK. So formalities out of the way. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, and welcome to Las Vegas.
That's right.
We've been talking about... I'll just quickly recap about a prophetic word from the Lord about beware the spirit of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord started talking to me about supernatural finances, the anointing, a breaker anointing for supernatural finances. He started talking to me about it in the year 2000,
mm-hmm.
and began a series of dreams, visions of the night, some supernatural, really supernatural encounters. And... He instructed me to tell the people. He told me back in the year 2002, actually, that recession was coming. And I'm going to just briefly go through that again for those that hadn't. And I would encourage you to go back to the last podcast. And I believe it's number 21.
Mm-hmm. And, it is. Yeah, it's number 21.
Listen to that, part one of this message.
Yeah, it's easy. If you got this, just go back one episode and listen to that one, and then just continue listening to this.
Yeah. This is, it's worth it. It'll set you free. God loves you. He wants you free. And that was one of the things he told me. He said, I want my people free from the strongholds and crushing pressure of lack. So God wants you free to obey him, free to take care of your family, free to give to the work of God, and free to accurately represent him in this earth. He said that souls are in the balance over it. Not only that, but his covenant promises to you and everything that he has, his will for your life is that you would always have more than enough. He is the God who is more than enough. It is his will for you. Supernatural finances, godly prosperity is his will for his children. The resources of this planet were put here by God for you, for his children, and not for the devil and his kids. And it's time for us to rise up and call this earth's resources back into their created order. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, financially for your people. And so I was talking about the anointings of supernatural youth, supernatural finances.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of this really flies in the face of religious doctrines that has been... That's one of the things the Lord told me in one of those dreams. It was a lie from the devil that he sowed into the body of Christ like centuries ago, that it was not humble to prosper. To have any money.
Yeah.
That it was an issue. People thought they weren't being humble if they had money or if they desired to have any money.
Right. This is especially with the Puritan roots that we have here in the U.S. I mean, the Jewish mindset doesn't have such strongholds, you know. But we have it a lot here.
Yeah. The Jewish mindset is they understand that God wants them to prosper. They just presume. They understand they are in the blessing. The blessing is the covenant.
Right.
We have a covenant blessing, and that's all part of it. That we live in the blessing, and because of the blessing, we have many blessings and finances. It's supposed to be an attitude of course this is going to prosper. Of course I'm going to succeed. The Lord told me to do this, so of course we're going to make it. Of course. It's God's will. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest hindrance to that, the lie that God's people aren't supposed to have money, it needs to be exposed.
Yes.
And brought into the light, brought out of the darkness and into the light. That is God's will for you to prosper. And I have actually a packet of prosperity scriptures, and I don't know how many. I keep finding more and putting in there. Right now it's, I'm up to 11 pages. And I was going to put into a book as soon as I can. The problem is the copyright issues with some of the different translations of the Bible.
Right.
Because it's all Bible verses.
That's true, unless you just make everything King James Version.
Yeah, I could do that. Make it all King James and then go through and explain on each one what other versions say and what the Lord says about it.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a good way to do a book. So, I'm probably going to have to do something like that. But we were talking last week about beware the spirit of poverty, and that poverty has nothing to do with how much money you have, whether you have a lot, whether you don't have any. It's a spirit, it's an attitude, it's an approach to life, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as opposed to the spirit of prosperity, which we are called to have, the mind of Christ, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was actually, in the context of that, was he was talking about, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. He was talking about money when the Apostle Paul said that. Mm. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. Through his anointing, I can make it through tough times because God not only provides for me, but he delivers me out of it. Because it's not his will for us to be in poverty or to have less than enough, any more than it's his will for us to be sick or...
That's good. It's a part of the total package.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's part of the package. So he told me, and it was like those things, and part of those dreams and visions that I would wake up in the morning and he would be talking to me. And I've said this last time, he would say things like, the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I would like, well, what's that about? And off we go. And in other words, they make use of their resources than God's children do with the resources God has given them. And another time I woke up, he said, poverty is a harsh taskmaster.
Uh-huh.
And that's what got me going on this one. So he again listened to last week's episode to catch up on that, some of the things we talked about regarding the spirit of poverty, that it truly is like containment. It's something that holds you in from all sides. It affects everything, not just your money. It affects your attitude towards people and life in general, and it makes people feel powerless over their own lives. And that's why authority and prosperity go hand in hand. It takes authority and understanding the will of God in order to walk in prosperity. And some of these things you really need to settle in your heart, that it is God's will for you to prosper. Yes, you. A lot of people think, I grew up thinking prosperity or just people having money was for other people, but not for me. Just simply because that's how I was raised. And if something good happened to me and, you know, I was blessed somehow, the kind of the family recording going on in my head was, oh, remember, you must have, it was almost a fear that, well, you sure better give God the glory for this and just thank God he did for you. It was like, wow. Because that's not normally what he does, that kind of
thing. Oh, okay.
Instead of, this is supposed to be the way we live.
Yeah, instead of being happy about it or anything.
Yeah. There was always like this stern warning. Don't ever forget where you got that. Well, I don't think I will.
Okay.
God's will is to bless his children, and that includes their finances. He wants us to be a blessing, and we can't be a blessing unless we are blessed. We can't bless others.
That's right.
How do you feed the poor when you can't feed yourself? I mean, you got to have something.
That's right.
In order to give something.
Yeah, that makes sense, but a lot of people don't think of that.
Yeah. So they that whole, it's a false humility that was sown into the body of Christ. And in back in the Dark Ages, and there were groups that would take on like a vow of poverty or something. That's like taking on a vow of sin or something. I mean, that's so contrary to God's will.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, it was thought to be a big deal somehow.
Like, doesn't that make you? I mean, it sounds really spiritual, but it's actually okay. I'm sorry, but I just started to say it sounds like a vow of stupidity because
well, it's pretty close.
How can you do what God called you to do? How can you reach the nations? And souls are in the balance over this, and say, well, I'm going to take a vow of poverty and not have any money. It takes money to do it. It's a tool. And it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money.
Exactly.
That's the root of all evil.
Uh-huh.
Don't love it. It's just understand that it's a tool. And love God. And obey him. And even when you don't have the money, that's what prosperity does, is you obey God and do what he tells you to do, no matter what the money looks like. That's what Mike and I do. We just, if the Lord, you know, and we do this, I mean, for 40 years we do this. Whenever he says, like, go minister so-and-so, or 40 years of, when the Lord says to go, we go. Because we serve God, not mammon. We serve God and not money. Or lack of money. And he always causes... He told me in these dreams that money has been assigned to his people. And it's waiting for you. It's been assigned to follow you when you obey God. So a lot of people are sitting around waiting for the money before they will obey God. And the Lord says, no, you obey me first and the money will follow. It takes faith. We were talking about the way the spirit of poverty manifests. Now, I'm just going to go through this briefly just to catch this flow again from last week. That he told me poverty strips people of their God-given dignity and how dysfunctional it was. It's not lack of money. It's the fear of lack.
Mm-hmm.
It's fear of not having enough. And it's the giving away of your authority in the earth about money. It's not accepting your responsibility to pray, believe God, and stand on the word of God about your finances. In fact, the spirit of poverty will have you end up putting the responsibility for your finances on other people. It strips people of their dignity. And Jesus says, where your money is, there will your heart be also. Which is really evident in the emotions that are connected with finances in people's hearts. It's very powerful. And that the biggie is that people have not been taught how to not be ruled by their emotions when it comes to finances.
That's a good point. Right there.
Yeah. And so I want to help. I really do. Because God wants you free from the crushing pressure of lack. It's not his will for you to be under that kind of a burden. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. And let me even read this scripture that he gave me. It's awesome here. In the King James, you've probably heard it 100 times, Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing.
Because of the anointing.
Because of the anointing. So now listen to this in Young's literal translation.
Okay.
And it hath come to pass in that day, turned is his burden from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and destroyed hath been the yoke because of prosperity.
Oh, because of prosperity.
Yeah. Another one says because of fatness.
Huh.
It's because of the anointing.
Right, yeah.
That anointing for prosperity breaks the heavy burden off the yoke off of people.
Mm.
And it is an anointing that the Lord is freely giving to the body of Christ. It's been released into the earth now. Prosperity. Yeah,
that's good. You don't hear that very often, that it is an anointing. I mean,
yeah,
don't hear that much. But, yeah.
That the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing.
Right.
And the yoke is destroyed because of prosperity.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Uh-huh.
That's really awesome.
Right.
It's exciting. He told me to call money back into its created order. But yeah, I was going through this thing about poverty manifests itself as the progression of, it feels like God doesn't care, or that God has failed me. And then it progresses to, it feels like people don't care, people have failed me. And then it goes on to number three, feels a need to prove to people or God just how bad this situation is. Then maybe people will care. Maybe someone else will fix it.
Yep.
No one else can do it for you. There comes a time when you have to actually come to terms with God's word about his will for you, about your finances. We've got to come to terms and take personal responsibility to believe God, just like you did for your own salvation, that it's between you and God. And yes, he uses people, and it's perfectly normal and godly to get help and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Get agreement in prayer from others who believe and want you to prosper. Don't go to people that don't believe in prosperity to get prayer.
Right. Yeah, that would be key.
Yeah.
They'll talk you out of it.
Absolutely. They'll talk you into settling for less.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not God's will.
Nope.
He's an abundant God.
That's right.
He's a prosperous God.
Uh-huh.
And we say, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't talk about those streets of gold just so he could just flaunt it at us.
No.
I want to reach into eternity and chip off a piece of that.
Right.
The streets that are paved with
just gold.
Gold, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord even posed this to me. He said, ask yourself this question. Would you rather have the caring and understanding of people or the supernatural provision of God? Would you rather have sympathy or prosperity? Because you can't have both. And again, don't misunderstand me. It's right to get prayer agreement. But there's a difference between getting people to pray and to believe with you and getting them to try to get them to care enough to fix it for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how God operates. So
yeah.
Recognize that poverty is an enemy of God's will for your life and attack it as such. It's completely contrary to God's will for your life and your destiny. And the Lord said, here's how to change your situation. Man, he gave me so many different ways. I'm like, which direction do I go? Here's one. Make a decision to break the spirit of poverty once and for all off of your life. And this is one of those things that you got to stand just like you would for your healing or anything.
Hmm.
You got to believe. You got to settle it in your heart.
Hmm.
You got to in fact, that's number one. Renew your mind to the word of God concerning God's will for your finances. Go through the word and start finding out what it says, how he really feels about money. Because the word is full. I mean, he talks about money a lot.
It's true.
And it always has to do with covenant. I mean, there's a few scriptures that talks about, like, the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar at the rich man's gate. The reason, I believe that the reason the rich man went to hell in that parable was because he was not a doer of the word. Because even in the Old Testament covenant, when they had money, they were required to give to the poor.
Yeah.
So if there was a poor man sitting at that rich man's gate and that rich man was ignoring him, he wasn't doing the word.
Hmm.
He was just doing his own thing.
Sure.
So again, it's very possible that rich man had a spirit of poverty.
Likely.
Because he wasn't giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so people, but they use those scriptures to talk people out of godly prosperity. Like, there's
saying that he went to hell because he had a bunch of money.
Right.
That
or
way.
How hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, it is true, you're not to trust in uncertain riches. Don't put your trust in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got your trust in that, yeah, it's going to be hard to get into the kingdom of God.
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't say you couldn't have money.
Mm-mm.
In fact, when Jesus said that, the disciples kind of freaked out because they were accustomed that it's the will of God to prosper.
Yeah.
So, like, well, they said, well, then who can be saved?
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole point was, hey, we're all working hard and expecting to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
If you're working hard and you're not expecting to prosper,
yeah, that's not very much fun right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the Lord says to work the laws of prosperity, man. He's got it all set up. Seed time and harvest. These are all things that God put into motion, and he gives seed to the sower. Don't eat your seed. Mm-hmm. Sow it. If you say, God hasn't given me any seed, then there's a couple things wrong with that. Number one, then you must not be a sower if he truly didn't give you any seed.
Yeah.
Or number two, he probably did and you ate it. So
yeah.
Don't eat your seed. Mm-hmm. You gotta sow. I mean, any good farmer knows that.
Yeah.
When your harvest comes in, you don't eat the whole thing.
Right. You have to put some of it back in the ground for next year.
Exactly. Yeah. Make a decision to break that spirit of containment and poverty off of your life. Settle it in your heart that it is God's will for you to prosper. And number two, lay hold of the truth. That's what this is the same thing. I wrote it twice, just two different ways.
Oh,
Lay hold of the truth that your prosperity is truly God's will.
Right.
Is there any other way I can say it? I'm probably going to find.
Needs to be covered. There you go.
Number three, begin to tithe and give specific offerings to break the devil's hold and thereby be a doer of God's word.
Mm. That's interesting there.
You can actually not only tithe, which we talked about last time, circumcising your money. Oh, man, you got to go back and listen to it. But you can specify offerings, because money answers everything. That's in the word. You can specify offerings and give them to the Lord to specifically break the devil's hold off of areas of your life. In this case, the hold of the entire spirit of poverty that tries to shut down people. Shut down entire families. It tries to shut down churches. It tries to shut down the preaching of the gospel. It shuts down joy. Poverty is a harsh taskmaster. Do you have a scripture there?
I have a scripture. Yes.
Would you read for me? I
have a scripture. It's from Matthew 25, right?
Yes.
Now the question is, where do you want me to start from on this?
Start with
like the beginning.
Are you in the
verse
Amplified?
Verse 14. Yes, I do. I have Matthew 25 Amplified.
It starts
at 14.
Where the kingdom of heaven is like unto, kind of thing.
Let's see. Okay, I'm looking.
Are you guys going to recognize the story as soon as Brian starts?
That's the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll just
yeah.
Do
oh
that.
Yeah.
Here
it
is.
The beginning. Okay. It is like.
Okay. So Matthew 25:14 Amplified. For it is like a man who was about to take a long journey, and he called his servants together and entrusted them with his property, and he gave 5 talents, says probably about $5,000, to another 2, and to another 1. To each in proportion to his own personal ability. Then he departed and left the country. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he gained 5 talents more. And likewise, he who had received the 2 talents, he also gained 2 talents more. But he had received the 1 talent, went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came and brought him 5 more, saying, Master, you have entrusted to me 5 talents. See, here I have gained 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, you upright, honorable, admirable, and faithful servant. You have been faithfully and trustworthy over little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into and share the joy, the delight, and the blessedness which your master enjoys. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. Here I have gained 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, you upright, honorable, admirable, and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into and share the joy, the delight, the blessedness which your master enjoys. He who had received 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a harsh and hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you had not winnowed the grain. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is your own.
Whoa.
But his master answered him, "You wicked and lazy and idle servant, did you indeed know that I reap where I have not sowed, and gather grain where I have not winnowed? Then you should have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest."
Mm-hmm.
"So take the talent away from him and give it to one who has the 10 talents.
Wow. Wow.
Keep going, or is that it?
That's good.
All right.
That is a picture of the spirit of poverty. The answer of that last one, when he said, what he said, "I know you to be a harsh..."
Oh, yeah. He said, "Master, I knew you to be a harsh and hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you had not winnowed the grain."
Okay, so right there, he misjudged the master. And in this case, obviously we're talking about the Lord.
Uh-huh.
He called him harsh.
Yeah.
He considered God a harsh taskmaster. And so it caused him to be afraid. That's what, like, a picture of the body of Christ, or at least those believers who don't believe that God wants them to prosper, they consider God to be a harsh taskmaster, and they are afraid. And when they get anything, they bury it in the ground. And they're so afraid, they believe in every stupid conspiracy theory. They won't even put it in the bank for interest, or they won't give it to the gospel. They bury it in the ground.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fear is the root of the spirit of poverty.
Yeah, good one.
And it causes people to be unfaithful with what the master has given them in every area of life, not just money, but every area of their life. Fear mm-hmm. is poverty, mm-hmm. basically, when it comes to that. And that's, the epitome right there. He called him a wicked servant.
He did.
Yeah.
And then took what was his and then gave it to the richest servant.
Yes, exactly. And probably he'd been sitting around bad-mouthing the guys that had a lot.
Yeah.
And, who do they think they are? There's so much of that in the body of Christ, like this false humility thing where they, shoot down the person that's being blessed. You didn't see what they sowed in order to get that harvest.
Yeah.
You don't know what they've done to obey God to their own personal hurt, but they obeyed the Lord with it, and God blessed them, and they reaped back a harvest. And so they're getting shot down and bad-mouthed and criticized by people who are either jealous or don't believe they deserve it. See, that's also a hallmark. Classic characteristic of the spirit of poverty believes that other people don't deserve to prosper. It believes they don't deserve it.
Yeah.
They disqualify people.
Right, that's it.
From prospering, including themselves. And they've made it a law unto themselves that they shouldn't prosper, and no one else should either. And they treat their pastors that way. They treat one another that way. They don't want anyone to have money. Or if they do, they need to work real hard for it and earn it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't work, but that's a harsh attitude. That word harsh is key right there, because he accused God of being harsh and hard.
Yeah, he did. Uh-huh.
The Lord spoke to me when I woke up that one day, and he said, "Poverty is a harsh taskmaster."
Oh, yeah.
And you can see the connection there. That harshness, that thing that actually believes that God is that way, they don't know God at all. They really don't.
Right.
They don't know the heart of God. That false humility and the lie of the devil and bad doctrine that has permeated the body of Christ is just so wicked. It's so anti-God's purposes in this earth. And God wants his people free from it. He loves them. They'll stand there and say, "Jesus loves everybody." But he doesn't want you to have anything. Basically, might as well say.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
No. I mean, even earthly fathers, it says, get their similitude from God.
Right.
And they want to bless their children.
Exactly.
Well, why would God be any different? It's amazing to me. So he said, call money back into its created order. God wants us to be free from the world's... the world doesn't want you to prosper. The world,
yeah.
The world does. It's bad enough that the world doesn't want Christians to prosper.
Yeah.
The devil doesn't want you to prosper. But
yeah.
He's like recruiting your brothers and sisters in the Lord so that they don't want you to prosper either.
Yeah, right. That's definitely double whammy.
Yeah.
Right there.
And the Lord just wants that thing exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, God wants you to not only prosper, he wants you to have more than enough. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, in the first 14 verses, it talks about the covenant blessings, which are part of the blessing.
Yeah.
And in the Amplified, I love it because it's one of the places it says, the Lord will make you have a surplus of prosperity.
Yeah.
I would take either one of those, a surplus of prosperity.
Right, but then together.
Or, yeah,
exactly.
Surplus or prosperity, but a surplus of prosperity.
Right.
It's only contingent on one thing, and that is if you'll listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord will cause you to be the head and not the tail. He'll cause you to be above only and not be beneath.
Mm, that's good.
All of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. That's all he's asking you to do, is heed his voice. Listen to him. Love what he loves. Souls are in the balance over this. The church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, must prosper in this day and age in order to fulfill and finish the job we're here to do, is to bring the kingdom and get as many people saved as possible and turn around and deliver this whole thing back to Jesus. And you can't do it without finances. And there needs to be a breaking of that whole spirit of poverty off the people of God so that they can truly live and give people a reason to want to be a believer.
Exactly.
I even heard Kathy Walters talked about that one time. She was in Jerusalem, I believe. She was went into a shop.
Yeah.
And there was a Jewish couple. Now, I think I'm getting this story correct. It was ran the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And when they found out she was a Christian, they immediately started to usher her over to the cheaper stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because they presumed that the Christians, you know, obviously don't have that much money.
Yeah.
Now, what a horrible
example.
What kind of an example is that?
Yeah, not very good.
To the world.
Uh-huh.
And she, I believe she ended up leading them to the Lord, but she said, I don't want the cheap stuff.
Yeah.
I want show me the good stuff. And
and
they said, well, we're just used to, you know, Christians not having any money. And when she talked to them about accepting the Lord, that was one of the reasons that was actually a stumbling stone for them. Well, we would, except we don't want to have to be poor.
Yeah, they didn't want to get saved because they didn't want to have to change their financial status, didn't want to be poor, felt like they had to do that.
Now, we're talking about Jewish people here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just, it comes down through generations of understanding God's will for his people is to be prosperous. And if these Christians want you to come and be poor like them, I don't think so.
Yeah. It's a big deterrent.
Yeah.
Who wants to live like that?
We're supposed to be making them jealous.
Yeah.
That doesn't make them jealous. That drives them away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, that really does fly in the face of a lot of what people have been taught.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord says that people need to be taught how not to be ruled by their emotions regarding money. He says, no more financial suffocation. He wants to redeem your finances from your old way of living, and so that he wants to miraculously save your finances the way he miraculously saved your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Miraculous signs and wonders in your finances. He wants to heal financial woundedness in the hearts of his people and restore to them the years the cankerworm has eaten. He wants to restore their finances and and restore to them what had been lost over the generations of time, and that is just the general overall understanding that God wants you to prosper. He wants you to prosper.
Right.
You, individually, you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants America to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
He wants our country to prosper. He wants our country to be a giving country.
Yes.
Giving to the right people and things, but giving. People have been givers. America has been a giving country. Believers have been givers for years.
Yeah.
Up until probably the last, well, the recession mm-hmm. that hit, and poverty tried to latch hold. And honestly, the Lord told me that this, our sitting president at the time of this right now, mm-hmm. is the one who actually Ooh. Ushered in a spirit of poverty on our country.
Oh, wow.
I just said it, didn't
yep.
I?
Shots fired.
Yep.
Everybody.
I generally don't say those things. I try to avoid politics. But the Lord said he brought poverty upon our country and held yeah. back the last day's transfer of wealth, set back the timetable of God, and is not okay with God.
Yeah.
And he's intending to make it right, the Lord is, and to set things in order, and he, I do believe he's going to use a bulldozer to do it. And mm-hmm. those of you who understand, if you have ears to hear, you better hear what the Lord is saying
yes.
to the church. God wants America to prosper again, and not through socialism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm getting into areas I don't normally talk about, but...
Are you trying to say it's time to make America great again?
Yes, that's what, exactly
uh-huh.
what I'm trying to say. It's time to make America great again. Oh, man, I had no intention of going there. I tell you what,
we went there.
Whether the bulldozer wins the election or not, he has already shaken everything from top to bottom, and America will never be the same again. God is uprooting the evil dealings in the back rooms right now. He is exposing the wickedness in our country
mm-hmm.
and bringing it out from behind the closed doors and shining the light on it. It's time for America to prosper again
mm-hmm.
because we are a Christian nation, whether anybody believes it or likes it or not. I don't care. we are a Christian country,
yes.
a prosperous country.
Yep.
And it's time for people to learn how to prosper again and not look to your government to take care of
yep.
you.
Yeah.
You look to God. Your citizenship is in heaven. And God will prosper you, and he will prosper America, but we got to be led by the Spirit.
Yep.
If you will listen diligently mm-hmm. to the voice of the Lord your God, and don't judge by the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ears, because God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get religious
yeah.
on God regarding this election.
Right.
If you want to see God's hand, I mean, man.
Yeah.
Get brave.
It's a real interesting shift there. Really ties it up in the end.
Whoa.
Even though just going there. You
I
know,
had no intention of doing that.
Well, I know you didn't.
But
you did.
Apparently the Lord wanted me to say that. I'm going to mm-hmm. blame it on God. How about that?
Yeah.
I am a prophet.
Exactly.
I am a prophet. I do know what the Lord has told us.
Yeah.
Mike has a video out there on Facebook, etc. right
yeah.
now about... with the vision that God gave him about Donald Trump. And oops, I said a word, didn't I?
Uh-huh. Said two.
I said a name. Mm-hmm. Well, prophets got to say what God says.
Yeah, so, what else are you going to do? So
exactly. God wants to bring the spirit of prosperity onto our country again. He is the only candidate with the spirit of prosperity. It's a spirit. It's not. He's not greedy. He's not... arrogant, all these things that people have, I've seen a lot of Christians accusing him of being arrogant and all of these kinds of things. But you know
yeah.
what? Some of that, you just need to get used to seeing authority in action. Some of it is leadership. Some of it is just his personality. And hey, mm-hmm. He doesn't claim to be.
Well, who's not arrogant in politics? I mean, I guess there's some more than others, but I don't really see...
Yeah.
Why that's such a huge stumbling block.
People
there.
Start getting religious on us
yeah.
right at the time when God's trying to bring prosperity back to America. For heaven's sake, let God do it, man. Get on board.
Right.
Stop. It's generally people either have a spirit of poverty,
mm-hmm.
or a really strong religious spirit that just can't see that God does use, he uses foreigners. It's in the Old Testament a lot. He said he uses foreigners to be your vine dressers. He uses people that may not be the most likely candidate,
in, right.
so to speak,
yeah.
to bless his people. And he's getting ready to bring major prosperity back on America if the church especially will not only pray about it, but will actually start believing it's God's will for America to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And not, it's not time for judgment yet. It is not time for judgment. It's time for revival, and this is key. We have felt it, Mike and I, as prophets for decades. It seems like when there's a whoever's in office, what the spirit they carry is, it translates out into the natural. It makes it either harder to preach the gospel or easier.
Aha, uh-huh, really?
Yep. When Ronald Reagan was president, those were the easiest years to preach the gospel.
No kidding.
It was the easiest year to get something, the easiest time to get something accomplished.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. And there were other presidents we've had that it was like pulling hen's teeth to get anything accomplished for the kingdom of God while that person was in leadership. So it's really important to get someone in there who has a spirit of prosperity and wants our country to be great and isn't going around groveling and apologizing to everybody and trying and operating in fear. And okay, I gotta wind it up a little here.
Yeah, I understand your point. That's really interesting.
But
yeah,
it's like there's this a collective hush. There's this collective holding of our breath as we wait for the election. Pray for God's man.
Mm-hmm.
pray for God's person.
Right.
The hand of God, because at the moment God's man is in office, revival is busting loose. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
Yeah.
And this,
yeah, it is.
I don't care that he's going to, he doesn't want a religious person. Not going to be religious. So
right.
religious people, I don't care if he's part of your denomination or not, whoever mm-hmm. you think you should vote for, you know, get that kind of thinking out of your head.
Yeah.
There is actually a denomination. I'm going to say something. I don't know. We may end up editing this out.
Well, we'll see. What do you got here?
There are a couple of specific denominations
mm-hmm.
who pray piously for revival.
Uh-huh.
And then when God sends revival, they shut it down.
Oh, uh-huh.
They have gotten in league with the serpent and the spirit of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, one of the candidates that's running, if he's, I don't know how long he's still going to be running.
Yeah.
Actually belongs to that denomination.
Uh-huh.
They put themselves out there as being for revival. But then when revival hits, they want to control it. They want to dictate what it looks like and tell mm-hmm. God what he can and can't do.
Yeah.
And if they can't control it, then pastors in their denomination have to choose whether or not to stay in the denomination and shut down revival, or leave the denomination in order to win souls and
yeah.
bring the kingdom.
I know who you're alluding to here, and I do know that, yeah, it's been happening for decades.
Yes, absolutely.
The process you just described.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Pastor had to leave that denomination.
Of course.
In order for revival to continue.
Yep.
And then when they, not now I'm talking about, but when that mm-hmm. one particular denomination, when they've shut down revival successfully,
mm-hmm.
then they go back to piously praying for revival again.
Mm-hmm.
And well, the people need to know that.
I guess it's probably a good business model.
I guess.
Keep things going.
I guess. It keeps people, it makes them look like they're really on board for revival. But man, there's a really strong spirit of control there, that religious control, to shut it down. So anytime I see a candidate comes from that and claims that denomination, mm-hmm. man, I pray hard. I look twice. I think, mm-hmm. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if they say all the right words or not.
That would be
yeah, that would be. That's, she was also part, oops, mm-hmm. she's part of that denomination too, I think, huh?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying.
Oops, are we saying too much?
Maybe.
Thanks a lot, Brian. We might have to edit that out.
We'll see.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
moving on.
Yes. Anyway, don't judge by the seeing of the eyes or the hearing of the ears. You listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you personally and as a nation. Trust God's system. Trust God's system.
Yes.
Trust God.
Uh-huh.
That he does know what he's doing. And, of course, it's not going to be the way you expect. He never does anything the way we expect him to.
Yeah.
So.
Of course.
I just, right now, I pray and release the anointing for supernatural finances upon the people that are under the sound of my voice right now. I pray for supernatural debt cancellation. I pray for just the blessing, anointing of God upon your life. May he open your eyes and absolutely deliver you from any semblance of the spirit of poverty. And may he deliver you into your destiny and bring joy to your life and the ability to just live abundant life that more abundantly. And God bless America while we're at it. I rebuke the spirit of poverty off of America in Jesus' name. Lord God, bring your kingdom and let your will be done regarding our next president. And I bless you. Thank you for listening. And I want to thank the Streams of Many Waters podcast network for everything. You guys are awesome. You should check them out. Check out the different podcasts. I love Vote Wasted. And I'm saying that because, you know, since we talked about politics a little bit.
Yeah, I guess we did.
Vote so. Wasted is a really good podcast with Wendell, Dove, McGowan, and crew. I think
right.
of the guys.
Yeah.
It's a great podcast.
So yeah, check out some of the other podcasts on that network.
Yes, Firestorm.
It's good to be aboard.
Wendell Sr.
Right.
McGowan.
Uh-huh.
Powerful man of God. We really appreciate you guys.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you all.
You got it. Okay, we're going to leave it there. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.